Good morning. On November 27th, which is 2 weeks from now, we are going to be dressing the church for the Christmas season. That means I need some muscle. So if anyone would like to volunteer, please see me or write a note in the hospitality register. Thank you.
Great segue, Beth. Thanks. Because also 2 weeks from today, we will be setting up in the fellowship hall after worship for the presbytery meeting on Tuesday. So while all that muscle's here helping Beth with decorating the church, we could use a few extra hands down there helping us set up tables and chairs, too. But the announcement I really was up here to make today is most of you know our dear longtime friends, Sandy and Marcia Way, have sold their home here. They're relocating to New Hampshire this week. This is their last Sunday with us today. And so we invite you down to the fellowship hall after church to have an opportunity to say goodbye to them and to wish them well. And then as soon as you have finished with that, you can grab a cookie and coffee and get into second hour to hear this great speaker we have. Thanks.
Good morning. As most of you know, today is Stewardship Sunday, when we have the privilege to come to God's table and to present our gifts of financial and volunteer giving, our pledge cards, and our time and talent forms. As you can see, there are pledge cards in the in your bulletins this morning. If you have forgotten to bring yours from home, you can use that one. If you've not brought one today, you can certainly bring it again next week. There are also time and talent forms at both of the entrances to the sanctuary that you can use if you have not got a time and talent form. As you're called to come forward to bring your time and talent and pledge cards to the altar, would you also bring your offering, envelopes or whatever offerings you plan today? If you're not able to come to the table, then there will be ushers in the aisles that can take your offerings and forms at that time. This is a joyful opportunity for all of us to give back and to praise God in a way for all the things that He has done for us. Thank you.
Now, let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. God has been acting in our lives and in the world around us this past week. God is here, ready to strengthen us, ready to urge us to be courageous in our faithfulness. Let us praise God.
Join me in the prayer of confession. Giving God, we confess that we are not always giving people. You give us courage, and we back away in fear. You greet us with compassion, and we greet others with apathy. You touch us with grace, and we touch others with judgment. O God, forgive our fear of the unfamiliar, the unknown, and the unplanned. Help us to joyfully give to others as you have given to us. Please share your silent prayers of confession. Amen. In Christ, we are given new life. We are free to live fully in the present. That is the good news that sets us free to love. Alleluia. Amen.
Secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken Alleluia. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. There was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, in every breath we drew was hallelujah. 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 There's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken Alleluia. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'd like to invite your children forward. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning.
In fact, I'd like to say hallelujah to that. I brought a story to read to you. It's called The Little Yellow Leaf. It was autumn, and in the hush of the forest, a lone yellow leaf clung to the branch of a great big oak tree. Can you find the little yellow leaf? Perfect. I'm not really ready yet, thought the little yellow leaf. A riot of fury leaves chased and swirled around the tree. But the little yellow leaf wasn't ready to let go. Not yet, thought the little yellow leaf. As the afternoon sun beckoned and teased. Not yet, thought the little yellow leaf, as apples grew mushy and pumpkins heavy and flocks of geese took wing. Still not, he thought, as the other leaves gathered into great heaps, crackled dry and where children play. A chill filled the air, and the sun sank slow. Not ready, thought the little yellow leaf, as a heavy harvest moon bloomed amber in the starry sky. Through the long night, snow flurried, and the little yellow leaf held fast to the great oak tree. Days passed by, and still the little yellow leaf held tight. The little yellow leaf was all alone. He searched the bare, bare branches, covered only with a shimmer of snow, alone. And then, high up on an icy branch, a scarlet flash. One more leaf holding tight. You're here, called the little yellow leaf.
I am, said the little scarlet leaf.
Like me, said the little yellow leaf.
Neither spoke, and finally, will you? Asked the little scarlet leaf.
I will, said the little yellow leaf. And one, two, three, they let go. And they soared. Into the waiting wind, they danced off and away and away and away together. You know, sometimes I think it's just easier to do things together with other people. It's not so scary when you have somebody else there by your side supporting you and doing it with you. In fact, I think that was God's plan for creation. God wanted to call us together with other people, other people that believed in God. Because when we come together as the church, things are easier to do when everybody puts their resources together. Work gets done faster. Budgets get pulled up. Everything is easier when we all join hands like God wants us to do and do things together. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for giving us people who can help do your work together. It's not so scary that way. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
First reading is from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Oh,
The second reading this morning is from Matthew 25. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another, to each according, start that over, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. And in the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave! You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? And then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Generously, he handed Bob the bottle of wine, red wine, good wine. And he said, I want you to have this. And my father-in-law continued, It was given to me. It's very expensive wine. So take it and save it to celebrate at a special event in your life. We were in our 20s when we received this bottle of Cabernet. And in those days, Boone's Farm green apple wine was our definition of expensive. So it was really exciting to receive something that we knew we would never buy for ourselves. And we did exactly what he asked us to do. We waited for the perfect event in which to uncork it. Well, as the years rolled by, we moved from North Carolina to Virginia to New York to Texas and then back to New York. And yes, the bottle of Cabernet moved with us. Oh, there were plenty of momentous events happening in our lives. We bought our first house. Robin was born.
Erica was born. Bob graduated from graduate school. I graduated from seminary. And with each glorious, life-changing event, we talked about uncorking the bottle of wine. But we waited. And we waited. And we saved that bottle of Cabernet. Well, not that the events weren't worthy, surely they were. And not that we didn't celebrate, because we did. No, it was more about saving. Bob's father had given it to us, and he had told us to save it, and save it we did. Well, that is until the day I was ordained as minister of word and sacrament here in this sanctuary. It was an extraordinary day in my life. At home, after the ordination service, Bob convinced me that this was the time to uncork this fabulous gift. And it did seem like the perfect time. My parents were in town. My children, by this point, were old enough to at least have a sip of the wine. Well, and then for me, there was the spiritual significance of red wine that made it really seem right. Well, at least in my eyes. So with the pomp and circumstance that it deserved, Bob screwed the wine corker into the cork, and he pulled it out of the bottle. Ceremoniously, he poured the dark burgundy liquid into the waiting glasses. My father made a wonderful toast, and we began to sip the treasure that we had protected for so many years. However, instantly, in total harmony, we all spit the wine back into our glasses. For as you can guess, after all these years of saving, the wine had turned to vinegar. Bob and I just looked at each other and laughed. And we were laughing at ourselves. We had put so much emotional energy for so long into a bottle of vinegar. In our innocent, over-the-top protection of this bottle, we had managed to destroy Bob's father's wonderful gift to us. Hoarding had just not worked so well for us. And hoarding didn't work so well for the slave in Jesus' parable that I just read, the one who received that one talent. No doubt this slave dug his hiding hole with the same kind of innocent expectation. His master had given him one talent to take care of while he was away. And scholars disagree on the exact amount of that talent in today's economy, but all agree it was a lot of money. Some estimate at over $1 million. So rightfully, this servant took his responsibility seriously. One can imagine him searching for just the right spot, digging through the rocky soil, carefully placing the entrusted treasure in the hole, covering it with dirt, and waiting for his master to get home so that he could proudly hand back all of the money to him. He played it safe. He played it responsible. He must have shook his head in disdain as he watched the other slaves trade and invest their share of the master's fortune in the market. How daringly reckless! How wise I am, he probably thought to himself. How foolish they are, gloating as he eagerly waited for his master to return. But when the rich man returns, as so often happens in Jesus' parables, the expected became the unexpected. The rich man was delighted with the risk takers and was furious with the saver. The saver got, so to speak, vinegar. And the risk takers got, so to speak, fine wine. This parable always finds its way into the common lectionary in November. Traditionally, stewardship time, just about every congregation. How convenient. It fits perfect. We preachers love to join with the master and lift up the risk takers who had vision and enough energy to make that vision happen. The bottom line, excuse the intended pun, the bottom line, either said or implied, is usually something like, friends, invest your talents in the work of God and do it here at our church. Yep, it's perfect for stewardship. And I also want to say to you, friends, invest your talents in the work of God and do it at our church. But before the parable throws us into obsessive thinking about our saving accounts, to the point of wondering what God thinks about our 401k plans, I'd like to look at the parable from a different point of view. A point of view that challenges me to step a little deeper into the whole issue of stewardship. And in order to do that, we must step out of the servant's shoes and put on the master's hat. For this rich guy is quite intriguing. Some might say this man is the crazy one in the story. For he didn't just put his servants in charge of a nice chunk of change. No. He left town for a long time, we're told, with the servants as caretakers for his entire economic worth. And he didn't leave them with a single instruction. The parable tells us, and I quote, he entrusted his property to them. I ask you, would you be willing to leave your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, your home, your retirement savings, your child's college fund, your furniture, your new computer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with anyone for a long period of time? I'm not sure I would, but that's exactly what this very rich man did. Indeed, he did give his servants an extravagant gift. But the gift wasn't about money. It was about trust. The man entrusted his servants with everything he had. That's pretty incredible trust. And in typical parable form, Jesus twists the story so that we might begin to see the master as God. For isn't that exactly God's creation plan? God has entrusted to you and to me and the rest of humanity God's entire creation. Like the servants, we've been called to be stewards of creation.
synonym for steward is keeper. Also guardian, custodian, caretaker. Again, that's incredible trust. So to define stewardship only in terms of budget is to turn fine wine into vinegar. For stewardship is about acknowledging God's trust in us. God created us to be caretakers of God's creation, and God has called us into community to get that job done. Stewardship Sunday is celebrating that we can do that together. We can make that happen. Today is not Budget Sunday. It's Stewardship Sunday. And they're not the same. Stewardship is about being a steward. It's about caring for God's creation. Budgets are just a tool to make that happen. We care for God's creation when we take a meal to a sick congregation member, when we serve lunch at St. Joseph's, when we paint a school in Jamaica, when we put on a roof on a home of a senior citizen in the North Country, when we make our building energy efficient, and on and on and on. But when we dig a hole and hide our time, talent, and resources in it, we limit, perhaps bury, our ability to be good stewards of God's created world. Yes, Stewardship Sunday is about celebrating that we are called together to care for God's world. And yes, it takes money and time and talent to do so. Thus, when you prayerfully consider your pledge this morning, I encourage you to see your gift as a response of gratitude to the trust that God of all creation has put in you. It is amazing grace that God continues to call us, to trust us, and to love us eternally. Truly, the fine wine of the new covenant. Amen. I invite you to share your joys and your concerns.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Prayers for Jim's brother-in-law, Ted, in Wyoming, and Jim's sister, Linda. Ted suffered a really bad stroke yesterday, and his two other sisters and mother are in a car on their way right now. So just prayers for whatever God has planned.
Cheryl, a week ago Saturday, and as probably many of you read and saw on television, we lost our neighbors, Jim and Pat DePinto, and also their parents are good friends and neighbors that live next door to us. And there were two young sons, well, 20-year-old sons that were living with them at the time, and our neighborhood has been wonderful in terms of pulling together. We had a candlelights lit every night until the service, and we've been preparing a list of volunteers to donate meals to the family. So we just ask that you lift them up in your hearts and prayers. And on a different note, Corey and some other doctors are volunteering their doctoring skills this week in Haiti. And so we just ask for your prayers for their health and well-being and safety and service in that country of need. Thank you.
Thank you. Polly Moore, I just wanted to tell you that Mike and I had the honor last Saturday of attending Finn and Carol's graduation from the Guiding Eyes for the Blind. Unbelievably, he's in Fredonia, since the dogs go all over the world. It was unbelievable. It was a remarkable ceremony. We have pictures. I just would like everyone to pray that Carol and Finn have a long, loving, and wonderful relationship together. And thank you for all of your acceptance of Finn and of Poco.
Thanks, Polly. Our church school children have sent us prayers. Prayers for a young man who was involved in an accident in our neighborhood. Prayers for the Bills. Prayers for a family friend who fell and hurt their head. Prayers for an aunt with a medical condition. Prayers for a dad after foot surgery. And prayers of joy for a football party today with family and friends. And apparently it's your birthday. Prayers for Mom, whose birthday is today. I also wanted you to know that Bev Gillette died last night after a long, hard battle with cancer. So we want to keep Bill in our prayers.
I'd like to ask for prayers, too, for Irene, Trina, and Elena. And I, we're going to be leaving Wednesday for El Salvador, where Trina and baby Elena are going to make it their home for the next 3.5 months. So we pray for safe travels.
We'll miss you. Let us pray. God of all creation, we stand before you in awe of the wonder of your creation. You entrusted it to our care, and we yearn to care and comfort, respect, and respond to it with the love that you have shown to us. Work through our talents, use our resources, and fill us with direction. We rejoice that we are part of the mission and ministry of Gates Presbyterian Church. We thank you for this church family and the support we have received through them. Bond us in ways that strengthen us to do your work. Help us to be your hands and hearts to each other and to the world. We have received hospitality from this community, and now we want to share that hospitality with others. Show us how to open our doors, our arms, and our faith to those beyond our walls. Today, we come celebrating our veterans. We give you thanks for the men and women who have been and are in our armed forces. We pray for those who are in war zones and for their families at home. We lift up to you our own Andrew McKnight and pray for his safe return. And we pray for the leadership of our nations and other nations, that they may find ways to be global neighbors that support life and liberty and moves the world toward peace. We also pray for the Gillette family this morning as they grieve the loss of Bev. We give you thanks for her and for her life, and that our lives crossed with hers. Oh God, you have heard our joys and concerns expressed this morning, and we give you thanks for the joy of being part of this congregation, and we ask for strength for the concerns. Hear us now as we voice silently the prayers that are in our hearts. God, we come now praying together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you have read in your bulletin and you heard from Jenny, we're bringing our guests a little bit differently to the table this morning. While you're singing the hymns printed in the bulletin, I invite you to prayerfully consider what you would like to pledge for 2012, both in time, talent, and resources. And when you are so moved, bring your weekly offering and the others up and put them on the communion table. And then we'll all sing the last hymn together.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
O God, we dedicate to you our gifts of heart, hands, and resources. May they reflect our thankfulness in serving you through this community of faith. Guide us as we plan and prepare for the mission and ministry of Gates Presbyterian in the coming year. Amen.
So now let us go into the world as stewards of God's creation, and let us go knowing that we go with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.